Again, if it causes you to sin, pluck it out. And basically, if you read Matthew chapter 5 to 7, it is telling, I want you to be perfect like God. So, but if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, you're supposed to live your gift and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Now you see, this is the reason why John Stott said that is the least understood and then least obeyed. But listen, God looks at our heart. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, we will read the story when God chose David. When Samuel anointed David as king, he first thought after seeing David's brother Eliab, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says here, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God sees what people do not usually see. And that is the heart. You know, when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, I heard one pastor who said that the Sermon on the Mount is like a nail in the coffin. So it is least obeyed because it involves dying to old self and allowing the newness of Christ to dwell in us and through us. In short, dead to self and alive in Christ. That's what you mean, born again. Being born again is crucifying our old self and completely submitting to Jesus, the one who paid in full the penalties of our sins. And the Apostle Paul declared in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I have been crucified with Christ, meaning I am dead. You know what? Jesus set an example for us to follow and obey. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, it says here, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." But listen, "but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." He emptied himself. And the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus gave his life so that you and I might have life. He gave his life. And living for Jesus takes a lot of sacrifice and dying to our old self that takes place on a daily basis. As the children of the Most High God, we as light should confess and forsake sin as soon as we are conscious of it. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Take up his cross. Cross means death. And follow me. You know what? Jesus then changed the tone of his message. He said that now that you know the essential character of being my disciple, now he's saying, behave like one. Because through you, ordinary as you are, the people around you will know God. So now if the Beatitudes describe the essential character of the disciples of Jesus, the salt and light metaphors indicate their influence for good in the world. Again, Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." But you have to remember that before the discovery of refrigeration, people used salt as seasoning and preservatives. Seasoning to make the food taste better and preservatives to preserve the food. So salt functioned as an agent to prevent decay in a meat. But you must spread the salt all over the meat that you want to preserve. And he says in the verse that the effectiveness of salt, however, is conditional. It must retain salt, its saltiness. We, as the salt of the earth, are agent of love, joy, and peace. We are to spread love, joy, and peace around the world because people are perishing because of sin. Brothers and sisters, we are therefore God's representative to the dying world. And then Jesus said in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Again, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what? Spending time with God changes us. Amen? Yeah, it changes us. Reading the Bible and praying daily changes us. You know, remember the encounter of Moses with God found in Exodus chapter 34 when he spent time with God. In verse 29 of chapter 34, it says, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." So Moses' face was glowing brightly, and the people were afraid to come near him. So Moses ended up putting a veil to cover his face. But in the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we are not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. And in verse 18, it says, "And we," that's us, "with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Did you hear that? We are to reflect God's glory. And he is transforming us. You know, growing up in Sunday school, I just remembered, we used to sing, "Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me, he's changing me." He's changing us. God is in the business of transformation, transforming us, making us and changing us to be like him. You know, I was once keen to learn more about photography. So I bought an SLR camera, enrolled in a photography class to help me take better pictures. So I learned that lighting is vital to have an excellent quality picture. I learned the basic purpose of lighting is to brighten a scene. But there is more to it than that. Lighting could convey mood, a feeling, a reaction, and when done right and proper lighting is a powerful storytelling tool. Let me share to you the basic characteristics of lights. They are direction. So where is the light coming from? 2, light quality. 3, intensity, the brightness of the light source. 4, color, the color of the chosen light. So again, in Matthew 14, Jesus said, "We are the light of the world." But you have to understand that Jesus spoke of himself as the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says here, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So, when Jesus, who is the light of the world, enters our hearts, we in turn became the bearer of that light. But we must remember that Jesus is the source of light, not us or any other things in this world. So listen, Christians, therefore, are the reflection of his light, just as like the moon that reflects the light of the sun. Unlike the sun, the moon does not generate its own light. It shines because sunlight falls on its surface. Similarly, as the moon gets the light from the sun and appears illuminated and glow brightly in the sky, we as God's children must glow brightly in this dark world. Our function as followers of Jesus Christ is to shine for him just as the moon reflects the glory of the sun. And when people look at us, they can see Jesus in us. You know, secondly, just like in photography, first, the direction. They said that the direction of the light source affects the outcome of the picture. Now the question is, where is your light source coming from? Do you get it from every page of the Bible or somewhere else? Every time you read your Bible, do you even read your Bible? You know, again, now I'm starting to remember all the Sunday school songs that we've been singing. You know, read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. And listen, it's not just for kids. It's also for us. So now, you know, do you come to Jesus? Are you continually and unconditionally yielded to God, the true source of light? Do you come to Jesus with an attitude of receiving and absorbing His word? You know, coming to Jesus with a basin and a towel, willing to serve others, just like what Jesus did when He washed the feet of the disciples. Now the question, does the word of God transform you, change you into the person that God would like you to be? You know, I really like what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And in verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Church, the church is about the kingdom of God. And we as His children are subjects of the King. If we are subjects of the King, how then should we live? How? You know, when I got married, my wife discovered my flaws and habits that are not good. Basically, that aren't good. So, for example, I really don't know why my wife will always ask me if I love her or if I like the food she's cooking. I told her, like, hey, wait. I married you, right? She said, yeah, that means I love you. I'm eating the food that you're cooking, right? That means I like the food that you're cooking. She then said, can you say it, though? Can you say it? I was like, why do I need to say it over and over again? I told her that I did not grow up expressing my feelings towards another person. And I said, too bad. You married me. I was born this way. And you know what? When that happened, I was actually studying in the seminary. And he said, but what happened to 2 Corinthians 5:17? That says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I realized that I can't even use those statements to her. Because if I'm a new person, the old has gone, the new has come. So if I really love her cooking, or if I really love her, I should be able to tell her that. And same thing, our love with God. How much do you love Jesus? Very much, yeah? Yeah, I go to church every Sunday. But you know what? Like, even our worship, when the worship team led us in singing, let's express our gratitude, our love for Him, for truly He is worthy of our praise. Next is the light quality. In photography, the distance of the light from the subject also affects the outcome of the picture. The distance of the light from the subject affects the quality of the picture. It affects the quality of the picture. And you know what? There's a story in Matthew chapter 15. We read about the story of the scribes and the Pharisees who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus responded in verse 8 saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Now the question is this: how close are you to Jesus? How close are you to Jesus? What is growing in your heart? You know, in John chapter 15, Jesus reminded us. He said, "I, Jesus, am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Brothers and sisters, do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Do we bear that fruit? But in order for us to bear those fruits, we have to be connected to Jesus. Next is intensity. The intensity of the illumination could affect the visuals of the final image. Illumination is a general enlightening that Christ brings to all, especially through the gospel. And God has given us His words, the Bible, His word, the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." As the light of the world, we should seize every opportunity of service as they arise. We should grab every opportunity as they arise. You know, I really like what Benjamin Franklin said, and I quote, "Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn." So get involved. Get involved in the church. Get involved as we help each other grow in faith in Jesus Christ. You know, lastly, color. The color of the light clarify a motivation. The question is, what is your motivation for being the light of the world? Do you do things for God out of your love for Him? You know, in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey or keep my commands." The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." You know what? In this verses, the Apostle Paul speaks of his motivation for ministry. When the Apostle Paul wrote, "The love of Christ compels us," he was describing the powerful spirit-filled motivation that drives followers of Christ to share the gospel in ways that persuade people to commit their lives to Jesus. Are we driven by genuine love and affection for Christ and by a clear view of Christ's love for the lost, or merely a sense of duty? What motivates us will make all the difference. You know, I really like this quote, like, love for God must be the underlying motive in everything we do. Love. It is not out of, because I'm obliged, or it's because of love. And I really like how the Message version of the Bible translate Matthew 5:14-16. It says here, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket? Do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. Because people are dying. Because people need the Lord. You know, we are the light of the world. Again, I keep on saying this. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But let me remind you again, we are saved by the grace of God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9. For it is by grace we are saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship, the handiwork of God, not of ourselves. A born-again believer is a masterpiece of God. What is true, while it is true that we are not saved by good works, it is equally true that we are saved for good works. Good works are not the root, but the fruit. Because we do not work in order to be saved, but because we are saved. Before our conversion, God mapped out a spiritual career for us. And our responsibility is to find His will for us and then obey it. In order for us to find out the good works He has planned for our individual lives, we should first confess and forsake sin as soon as we are conscious of it in our lives, be continually or unconditionally yielded to Him, study the Word of God to discern His will, and then do whatever He tells us to do. Spend time in prayer each day, seize opportunities of service as they arise, and cultivate the fellowship and counsel of other Christians. Brothers and sisters, God prepares us for good works. He prepares good works for us to perform. Then He rewards us when we perform them. Such is His grace. The question is, how are you doing as the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Do you choose a place to shine your light? As a light of the earth, as a salt of the earth, do we act like an agent, a preservative that stop the people from decay, stop people from going to hell? Brothers and sisters, salt preserves while light gives life. Do we give life to those people around us who still don't know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? In closing, it says, John Stott said, a Christian character as described in the Beatitudes and a Christian influence as defined in the salt and light metaphors are organically related to one another. Our influence, listen, depends on our character. Our character. So how is your character? Have you been living a life where the people around you gets a glimpse of how good, how loving, how merciful our God is? And they, in the end, will say, I want to have what you have. I want to have what you have. You know, I love this quote. It says here, for us to live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Again, brothers and sisters, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people will see your good works and in the end glorify our Father who is in heaven. Be the change you want to see in this world by being the salt of the earth and light of the world, shining brightly wherever we are, whatever we do, for God's glory and God's honor. And we just sang it, living for Jesus. And to hear when our day comes, when God will call us home, to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Lord, how we long to hear those words when our day comes to an end. But Lord, while we start living here on earth, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity that you're giving each one of us to be your hands and your feet. Lord, as you bless us, I pray, may we be a blessing to the people around us. May you transform us, change us, and make us the people that you want us to be. And as your representative, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, may we be able to represent you well. Lord Jesus, we cannot do this on our own. That's why we come to you right now and ask for your help. Will you fill us? Fill us, O God. Fill us, O Holy Spirit. And bless our hands, bless our lives, and use us as a blessing to many so that many more people will come to know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, for your glory and for your honor. For this I ask and pray in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.